What's up, everybody? Welcome into Unpaved. I'm Adam Sager. He is Sean Salisbury. You can follow him at Sean Unfiltered, me at Adam G. Sager, the show at Unpaved on Rumble. Got a lot to talk about today. Fun. I thought it was a decently fun Monday night football game. We got coaches on the hot seat. Sean's got an NFL guy he wants to talk about. I got another college guy I want to talk about. The Mark Sanchez story keeps having little twists and turns. We'll talk about that later in the show. But let's start. Let's pay off the poll question from yesterday, Sean. Which college football team is the biggest disappointment this season so far? Your options were Penn State, Texas, Clemson, North Carolina. I had Texas. I believe you had Texas as well, correct?
Yep.
I just think with what everybody thought about this team, its defense, everything, nobody expected them to be unranked after week five. And both them and Penn State, who were 1-2 in the AP poll, are both unranked.
Yeah, now you can make a case, Siggs, that the worst loss of the year is Penn State and UCLA, sure, without question. And North Carolina, you go on there because of the Belichick thing, but I don't think we had expectations that they may be disappointed with the way they're playing, but not disappointed they were going to be anywhere near a playoff-type team. The other three, yes. And you can make an argument for all three. With Clemson, Clemson's just kind of – I'm shocked at their lack of physicality. It just kind of looks weird, right? I mean, I know they played well last week, and maybe they turned it around, but the other two to me stick out even more. And I was expecting Klubnik and those guys to elevate to a new level, and maybe they will. But with Texas and Penn State, maybe the bitterness – Texas gets beat in their building by a good Oregon – I mean, Penn State gets beat by a good Oregon team but traveled across the country. So you say, okay, that's good competition. But then when I saw what happened to UCLA, I'm like – that's no doubt the most disappointing, quite frankly, embarrassing loss in the country this year for a top-ranked team. But a buddy of mine who's a Texas guy said, well, Texas only lost by a touchdown in each. The Florida game was – they were beaten more by a touchdown. Well, the score said a touchdown. They were beaten up in that one pretty good. I do get they hung in there in Ohio State, but if they – the problem, they didn't make enough plays, and we don't keep score. We don't have a category that says almost won a game. And my buddy, I love him, Big J, you know I love you, but – and he said, well, Texas shouldn't be that high up on – yeah, they should, in my opinion. They shouldn't have been that – maybe we overranked them at the beginning, but everything said with Arch, this is a two teams been in the Final Four a couple years in a row or whatever, and they just haven't. So I got to put them first because I actually expected more out of them than I did Penn State because I trust Sark more than I do James Franklin. I just do. So I think the Texas thing's legit. And then I heard Sark, which is not like him, Segs, a little bit of sound when he said, well, you go on the road and have to play Florida and Ohio State this early in the season. Well, I get it, but Oregon went on the road and beat Penn State in their building. I mean, the good teams, I mean, last year Ohio State had to go play Oregon, got beaten, they fixed it, and they end up winning the national championship. So I love what Sark's – I get what he's saying, protect your team and the rest of it, but – it doesn't sound like Sark. It almost feels like Sark sending the message that we're not as good as you guys thought we were at the beginning of the season. And a lot of that has to do with the protection up front is just horrendous on the offensive line. But I don't think by the end of the season we're going to be talking about any of those three teams, Clemson, Texas, or Penn State, as an embarrassment. But I don't think any of them are, in my mind, national title type teams. I just don't. And we all thought they were all – a top eight, top five type team going in. So to me, it is Texas because of my expectations for them going in. Hell, if my expectations were even higher for Clemson because of the conference, honestly, because of where they were playing. So I could almost slide them in against over Penn State. But Penn State's just the worst. I wouldn't even be on them that hard if they got beat by Oregon, although it was another James Franklin loss in a big game. But the way that they did themselves at UCLA that hadn't led a minute of a game, not even a snap this year, That was the most embarrassing loss we've seen for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and you're just kind of seeing James Franklin and Sark just throwing excuses out there. I mean, I'm one. I don't see Shane Beamer out here making excuses, playing the victim, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Sellers has been banged up a little bit right now. You're right.
His next five games, Sean, for South Carolina, at number 11 UCLA, home against number 6 OU, home against number 8 Alabama, at number 4 Ole Miss, at number 5 Texas A&M. I mean, that might be the hardest five-game stretch ever.
That's you said UCLA. Who'd you mean with that number 11? Who'd you say?
Oh,
you
said UCLA. Did I say UCLA?
Thinking about the Penn State UCLA game. Who was it?
Number 11 was LSU.
Okay.
Yeah, not UCLA.
I was going to say, well, UCLA didn't make it as tough as.
I know they'd be. No,
say, how'd they jump to 11 already? Damn. Yeah. But yeah, that's. And Florida and South Carolina both have brutal schedules. I mean, Shane Beamer won't make an excuse. And it's just, you know, Franklin can make them. It's just, I don't hear this much from Sark, but it feels like they both realize, man, maybe we're not as good as the general public in these polls that we put up before the season even starts because of reputation and talent on the roster, or at least supposed talent. So we'll see how it turns out. I think that, you know, they'll all go on a win streak of some sort, but it's hard to go on a long win streak in the SEC if you're not playing good football, Segs. It just is.
It really is,
man. And the Big Ten as well.
New poll question for today. Up will be up all day, and we'll end it tomorrow at the beginning of the show. If the season ended today, who's your NFL MVP? Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, Jared Goff. And now I think if we gave you those four options at the beginning of the year, you would have laughed at us, probably turned our show off, and never listened again. But those are four legitimate MVP candidates. Yeah, you could throw Josh Allen in there. You could throw.
I was going to say Josh Allen's probably saying hold my beer, yeah, but we got to do it.
Lamar right? Jackson's been great.
We only got four spots.
Exactly. Yeah. So it also says who did we miss? Throw in an option that we missed. I've seen someone type in Drake May's name. So there is definitely a lot of quarterbacks that are off to great starts. You mentioned in our chat, Jonathan Taylor is off to an incredible start through five games where he leads the league in rushing, has I think 8 touchdowns already. So a lot of different players.
You know what it is, Sigs? It's become a quarterback award.
It is, yeah.
It's going to be a quarterback, and then the offensive player of the year is going to be having a season like Jamar Chase or Jefferson or Jonathan Taylor. They're really in it for the offensive player of the year run. It's a quarterback award. And for me, you know how I feel about Sam, I think Jared Goff continues to prove that Detroit's not going away, and he's been really, really good there. But I got to tell you, and that whole list is loaded with good players and some that aren't on there. To me, the most valuable player in the league right now is Baker Mayfield. I honestly believe that. I think that he's – now, it's not – I don't – it's not unanimous. It's not overwhelming. It'd be split a bunch, and it's close. But just what he does bringing his team from behind 3 or 4 times already this year. Now, he'll get a little erratic, and he'll admit it. But that same energy that he has that maybe makes him we saw that with Favre, dude, in a kind of a different way. But Favre had a similar energy. It's that energy that I don't care if I throw a pick. Once I get the ball back, I'm willing to throw a second one to fit it in a tight window and be smart. And he's done. And it is rolling through that organization. I don't know if it means that they're going to end up going in deep into the playoffs. But I can tell you this. The guy is playing with energy. He elevates everybody around him. The numbers are gaudy enough, and he's winning in clutch times, like again last week he did against the Texans. You give that guy the ball late, Segs, they're finding a way to win most of the time. And listen, sometimes we have MVP, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh, fatigue. We saw it in the NBA. We've seen it with Giannis. We've seen it with Nikola Jokic. When you get tired of one, they go on to the next guy. And we got with Shea Gilgeous Alexander. He wins another one. Guess what they're going to get tired of? Him, and then all of a sudden it's going to be the next cat who does it. Even though they may – hell, Jokic's numbers were good enough to win it again, even better than the previous year. He could have won it, but Shea Gilgeous, his team was awesome. They were the best team all year. And so that happens. And in football, it does too. I can just tell you this. Baker Mayfield, for my money, has become must-see television. And he has been – after the Brady thing, we all thought there'd be a long lull, right? Like, when are they going to fill this? And while he's not Brady, I can tell you this. He has done a phenomenal job of being the guy after the guy. I mean, he really has, which is a hard thing to do. So, good on him. That would get – he got my vote. I chose Mayfield in this.
Yeah, I was between Mayfield and Jared Goff. I think
Goff was my second choice as well.
Yeah, I just think, you know, completing, he's up at 75% of his passes, leads the league in touchdown passes at 12, only has the 2 interceptions. But everybody expected kind of a drop-off when Ben Johnson left from that offense. And Jared Goff is here to say, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got a great play caller. but we still have me. We still have Jahmyr Gibbs. We still have David Montgomery. We still have Sam Laporta. We have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. The list goes on. And we have one of the best offensive lines in football. We're still arguably the best offense in football, and I'm leading that offense. So that's where I just lean Jared Goff a little bit more over Baker Mayfield.
Let me be the guy. Let me be the on the other shoulder, just for the hell of it, to ask if I was asking you this. And you and I were one of the real MVP award folks. The one is the 50 voters at the end of the year. There's 50 votes. If I was a guy on the other and I had to convince you, like they do when they try to convince somebody the guy belongs in the Hall of Fame, that, you know, like, you know, when they go up and punt, like when they're on the table for him, what if I told you that while I would have picked Goff second, and it was close. I'm a big fan of Jared Goff and what he's done. What if I said, well, look at the weapons, Siggs. They didn't lose any of those. I mean, now Baker's got some players. Their running backs run hard. Bucky, I mean, they do. But in truth, the perimeter people surrounding Jared Goff are better than Tampa Bay's, which and Mayfield's elevating him. And I think Goff elevates him. It's 6-1, half dozen the other for some. You can make the argument both ways. I lean towards – it's a great point, too. I lean towards Mayfield because he's got less talent on offense. And while a decent offensive line, it's not as good – it's good, but it's not as good as Detroit's. And I understand your part of it where it's – wait a second now. He lost an offensive coordinator, and we see how that affected Philadelphia when they lost theirs until Kellen Moore came in and they went and won a Super Bowl. So good argument both ways. And in truth, if you said either one of them won it, we gave an award after 5 weeks of the season, I could not argue with either one. But to me, they are 1-2 either way.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, it's half, you can go one B. I mean, however you want to do it.
And you're not going to argue with Josh Allen. You're not going to argue. Hell, who's hating on it? Listen, Darnold throws a pick. If it's reversed after last week's game and they win and Tampa doesn't, we may be saying, well, what about Sam Darnold for that as well, right? You get that too. And old man, 016, LeBron James, it's like, isn't it a James? It's some kind of booze or something.
It's Hennessy.
It's a Hennessy. There you go. It's a Hennessy. So don't fall for the okie doke. You're not going anywhere. Matter of fact, if it was in 2035, I wouldn't fall for it because he may still be playing until his grandkids are up ready to play. And he's playing at a high level. He ain't going anywhere. They fooled a few people out there, but it was just basically a booze endorsement is what it was, right, Sakes?
Yeah, it's just a cheesy play off his announcement from 2010 when he picked the Miami Heat, and he did all the cliche dumb sayings with it. I'm taking my talents and blah, blah, blah. They just recreated that.
All the stuff he made fun of himself for something that he shouldn't have done then either. So,
It's just LeBron being LeBron. All right, last night.
Look at me and take it.
Look at me, James, instead of LeBron James. Jags beat the Chiefs 31-28 last night. Fun game, interesting game that had Trevor Lawrence falling down twice, getting back up and still scoring while Chris Jones just walks around the field. Well, walked in about a 5-foot by 5-foot square during the play while it's going on. He's just walking around. And then we had the long pick six, 99-yard. It was an interesting game. I don't know how well of a played game it was, but it was interesting. It kept you tuned in because you weren't sure what weird shit was going to happen next. But let's get your first thoughts on Trevor Lawrence and the Jags getting the win, going to 4-1, tied with the Colts at the top of that AFC South, which is the only division of football that has two teams with four wins. Let's get your thoughts on the Jags after the win last night.
And I wouldn't have thought either one of those teams would have four wins 8 weeks into the season going right. In truth, new coach, new quarterback in Indianapolis, new coach, obviously, in Jacksonville. It was not a well-played game. And we've seen, this is Groundhog Day. We've seen a lot of those games that aren't played well. But the thing about it is that, first off, Mahomes looked like Mahomes last night. Now, the pick six for 99 yards, and they blitzed him, and Andy said that Pat didn't see it and forced it. And Devin Lloyd, I think, has got 5 picks already this year, leads the league, so he's playing Pro Bowl-type football. But it was ugly, but we saw movement, and that looked more like a Kansas City Chiefs offense is supposed to look, but it's usually the other way around. They're the ones closing it out in close games like that. Segs, I think this can have miles of real estate if Jacksonville feeds off this properly. Their people, Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence battling. I guarantee there wasn't a soul in the, I mean, on TV watching that thought he was going to find a way to be the guy that did what Mahomes normally does to their opponents. And, you know, the fact that he did gets down there, they go score. Now you got to drive your team down, go win a game. And then you're down there with a chance to win and you fall, you get stepped on, and then you fall again. And it goes to show you, you don't have to design really good plays. Say, fall your ass down, get back up, fall down again. Maybe everybody will kind of hesitate and then find your guy to kick out on a block and get your ass to the end zone with your big ass 225-pound body. He played well. His stats weren't gaudy, but he made throws and plays at the right time. And I like the fact that his legs were brought. I saw that at Clemson. He brought some legs back into it. And I think that's going to be the next level to his game. The Segs, games like this, I'm not that cheesy guy that will be, well, momentum, they got momentum. Momentum gets punched in the face game to game. Confidence, though, whether you bought into the cheesy, like, Duval with Liam Cohen, they are, and they believe, and that's all that matters. So whatever they're doing, there's this, and we talk about the most overused word on the planet, culture. Culture in the building. Change the culture. Maybe he has. Now, what does that mean? It can mean whatever you mean. Does it mean that players rally around the coach and they have the believability? You know how you change culture? You work hard and you execute the play, and then culture changes in the building, right? You get rid of the turds and you bring good guys in, and you bring a guy that the players can buy into, and you got to get buy-in. And I think that Trevor Lawrence realizes, Sags, that this is a pivotal season in his career. I believe that. Now, he's getting paid big money, but I still sit on the fence of, is he going to be a star? Is he a late bloomer, or is he going to be a first round? And bust wouldn't be fair, but he's just going to be a guy that kind of plays in the league 12 years. He was the first pick of the draft, but he's not the first pick of the draft successful, right? And, hell, Baker was going through a little of this now. Look at how he's rejuvenated. We mentioned Darnold and Baker yesterday. It's like this can work wonders for a psyche of a player, a quarterback, and how you're going to look at the tape and say, how did this happen? But it happened. And I'll remind you again, when I asked Elway years ago, when you win games late, John, was there a science to it? John and I were talking about it. He goes, no, I did it once. I did it twice, meaning we did it, but he's the quarterback. Yeah. He wasn't taking credit for it. He goes, but everybody just thought we'd do it. Well, games like this can go a long way into you saying, you know what? We are different. The culture is changing, because I do believe you got to learn how to win and learn how to lose. 2 years ago, they would have lost that football game. Last year, they would have thrown an interception. He would have stayed on the ground. He would have been touched. Chris Jones would have made an effort and tackled him at the two, whatever. And listen, Chris Jones is a Hall of Fame type player. Yes. I was actually a little taken aback on an Andy Reid team with Chris Jones that he watched the play as your best defensive. I was shocked that normally his motor runs and runs and runs.
It's He's pissed off people. Moment, too. Like,
yeah.
I needed that.
Yeah, the game is on the line. I understand after the frustration that you're like, what in the hell happened? But during it, and with his athleticism, on the first, if he's running down the line, he may make the tackle. You never want to think you're out of the play. So that surprised me damn near as much as getting up twice and going and making a play. But you know what I loved about the Jacksonville thing? They didn't quit on it. The guys behind him, you know, we always talk about play to the whistle, and guys, we overuse the term. You hear it, Segs, with your son. Play through the whistle. Play the whistle. Play through the whistle. Well, imagine if the first guy felt Trevor Lawrence fall down, that the tackle who was blocking or the guard, I can't remember which one, show that up one more time, but the left side of the line quit. He gets stepped on by the guard or the center. Now watch, you're that left tackle. You quit on the play and the guard. They didn't. One buries a guy in pancakes and the other gets out in front and knocks another guy. And then Lawrence says, screw it, let me go make me a play. I know it was ugly and the game was fairly ugly, but – look at this. One guy's watching and the other guy's playing, and the line difference right there. And it's the difference in the game. And it ended up working out for them. Phenomenal performance on this and effort. But it's the guys up front that not one of those guys quit. But look who did. And it's shocking to me, because I never see that from 95.
If you're Andy Reid, do you use that play? Chris Jones is an example. He's a veteran. He understands this. He knows he screwed up. But you're sitting at 2-3 now. You need to light a fire under these guys somehow, some way. Do you use Chris Jones as the, I don't want to say punching bag, but as the, this example. Play as maybe an, yes, there you go. The example that this shit doesn't fly here. You dress him down in a full team meeting, showing that play on the big screen, and you know, it's not going to tear him down and he's going to like go, you know, like maybe a young player would if he made that mistake in that moment. But you can use this as an example to fire up your team moving forward. Or do you just kind of say, that's one of our veterans. We know next time he will make that play. He will not be walking, blah, blah, blah. How do you use that if you're Andy Reid moving forward?
So grateful for this question. And I've mulled this over today. Mm-hmm. How would I handle it or Andy Reid handle it? Knowing Andy Reid for 40 years, but also thinking, put myself in a situation. Now, I'm not normally in the feel-good business, Sags, and I'm too worried about what a Pro Bowl Hall of Fame player thinks if I dress him down. And Belichick used to do that to Brady, not on tape, but in front of the team, like, you know, you got to play better, you got to play better. There's a difference in voicing it when everybody's sitting out there without you showing it. Tell them, because they all know. And right. And Tom knew, because if you never get called out, then your team can't get better, because then it says, well, they red carpet Tom Brady. He does make mistakes too. He throws picks. Why does he get a hall pass? And actually, the better you are, the less hall pass that a good coach should give. Because you, matter of fact, you kind of go behind the scenes and say, dude, I'm going to dress you down and practice. Just say, and he'll say, have at it. You know, those type of things. But there's also the other side, Sex. It is so, and I can't begin to tell people like anything. When you talk about it, it's one thing. When I show it on film, like if you said, Sean, did you see the game last night? I said, no. He said, man, Chris Jones was lazy as hell or didn't make any effort on the game-winning touchdown. I would have said, oh, man, that sounds awful. But it wouldn't have hit as hard. Then if you say, Sean, but now look at it. I would have said, what the hell?
Yeah. What?
And so, yes, it hit right. So, Segs, and I'm not fit sitting on this. One, knowing Andy Reid, my guess is that Andy talks to him and they handle that in their defensive line meeting, when they break into their group meetings and handle it. And he knows it. But I'm also thinking, knowing what kind of player he is, he may stand up during the meeting, a team meeting, and interrupt Andy in the right way, right? And say, you know what, I got to say something, man. This is put that up and may tell him and stand up. He doesn't even need Andy to say it, because I would expect a guy like Chris Jones to stand up and say, you know what, that was chicken shit and bullshit on my part. I'm better than this, and that's part of the reason. And you guys, I'm supposed to be the guy who I'm supposed to make that play. I could imagine him saying that. Listen, sometimes players need to be embarrassed. Now, I'll put it to you this way, Sigs. If this was a bad practice guy, a guy who gave – that I've had to correct him about effort before, that he's not putting it forth, and he's a second-year guy, I would definitely say this. I'd put like 8 plays up. He wouldn't be the standalone. 8 plays in the game where there's maybe a little lack of effort or a mental mistake. And I'd say, I'd bunch it in the middle, because when you do play it, you know what? A second year guy, the veterans would look at him like, that's not how we do these things here. Chris Jones is the guy who makes sure things are getting done right, not only on the team, but on the defensive side of the ball. For everything you love about Mahomes on the offensive side of the ball, that is Chris Jones on the defense. So I'm not giving him a hall pass. And you know what? You see him own up to it. I would imagine that he himself would have loved to address, would say something about it. But I don't see Andy Reid embarrassing him in front of the team. I do see Andy Reid saying, this is stuff we got to get better at. We cannot do this. But you make a valid point that the message would be loud and clear. Keep doing if Chris Jones isn't above it. And Chris probably would be able to take it, Six, because he's a tough-ass veteran, right?
Yeah.
But part of me thinks that they're going to handle it, that the world already knows. Chris has seen it a million times on social media and wherever else anybody's talking about it, that he probably knows. But the message is going to get sent. I just don't know if it's going to be in front of the offense and defense. Maybe in the full defense meeting where you're with your fellas, right? But you want to know what the most embarrassing thing is in pro sports? On a team game, when that happens to a player.
Not giving
Not when you get blocked and you're away and you say, oh, man, I'm down. You try to get it. I'm talking about the guy who just flat out quit on the play, especially when you're as good as him. It is – they all know, and they're not going to say it, but it'll get handled, but I'm not so sure that Andy will be the one to loud talk it, although it would be a loud message sent that we just don't accept that here. I think Chris Jones will own up to it in front of his own team as well.
Triple E, if you could put that quote back up of Chris Jones that he said after the game, and I missed this, so I'm glad Triple E found it. We've just got to finish that play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. We gave this game away. So many mistakes by us.
Yeah,
That's not taking account for anything. That's putting it on everybody. And you know what? That's not a leader right there talking. Yeah. So With seeing that, if I'm Andy Reid, I may have to dress him down.
Now that you mention it, that quote, when I saw it, I thought it said, I've got to, and then all the rest of the many mistakes.
Right.
I thought it said, I've got to. Put that one more time up, Triple E. At the beginning,
He uses
– Right. I thought he said, I've got to finish that play.
Right,
it was a fluke play here. And then we've made so many mistakes. But there's no I in there. And that one, which is still shocking, because Chris Jones, when he looks at it, he was the only one who quit on the play.
Right.
He was the only one who quit on the play, which is not like him. And although – He may not have got to it. He may have got to it. Segs, it's the optics to your team, to your organization, to your fan base, and to you that says, that's not who I am. Because if it is who he is, and this has happened before, Andy Reid should dress him down. There's too much. And I know we talk about we. I like to talk about we in when we're winning.
Yes.
When you lose and you've done it, I like to say I. It's like a quarterback. If a center snaps the ball and it's a bad snap under center, but my hand's underneath there, even if it was the center who had to reach and he short snapped me and it hit the ground, it's not his fault. Even though we all know it was in the locker room, it's my fault. My responsibility as a quarterback is to secure the snap and make sure I get it because he's got too many people to block anyway. I got a job to do, even if it's bad. That's that I part. Now, hey, man, what a phenomenal game. You throw for 420 and you win and you kick their ass and you make a spectacular play. Like if you're Trevor Lawrence, you know what you say? We did an unbelievable job. I'd have never got into that end zone if it wasn't been for our guys up front not quitting on the play. And I just got lucky and saw a hole and dove in because I saw the end zone. That's how you know, because everybody in the building already knows you made a great effort to get in. You want to give the credit. Chris Jones, because I thought it was I. Now that I look at that, you may have to because, to me, that's I. Yes, it was a fluke play. Yes, you got to give more effort. But you tell me who else put on a play from this angle. I see a bunch of other guys running trying to get to him. One almost tackled him. And Chris Jones is your best player, not named Patrick Mahomes on that team, period. It's not Travis Kelce. It's not Xavier Worthy. It is Chris Jones is your next best player. And has been in this league long enough to know that's not how you do it. Because I just asked this of Chris Jones. If that would have been another guy on your team that was a second-year player and you saw that on tape, what would you say to him?
Oh, he'd have been screaming
at him. That's the point. Yeah, that's exactly right. So I would have liked an I in that first comment, and I thought it was. I thought he said I've. Nah. Yeah. The we is in the win. The I is when you make the mistake when you lose.
This is something – I have a freshman daughter who plays volleyball and basketball, and I've seen – you know, they've played already 25 games or so in volleyball this season. And I've watched so many girls at the freshman level. They make a mistake, and they laugh. They joke. They try and – that's how they try and play it off. And I'm just trying to teach my daughter, like, no, that's not how you do it. You get mad at yourself for making the mistake. You learn from the mistake. And then, because after volleyball, every single point, they kind of come into a little huddle. You walk in the huddle and you say, my bad, guys, I got it next time. You don't laugh. You don't joke. You don't, you know, just kind of try and play it off like, it's funny. No, you get on yourself, learn from it, and then make sure your teammates know, my bad, I got your back next time.
And no doubt. And even at that age, Segs, you're keeping score.
Yes. Yes. You still see pro players be very, very selfish when it comes to these types of situations, and they still don't own up to it. It's just, it's not enough. Yes, it really is.
Because now it makes me want to criticize more. Like, dude, you really didn't see that on tape? You can't watch that on tape and think, well, you can't give me any excuse.
Yeah, you got
to
know.
If you're too tired, get your ass – Right, you don't have time to be tired. Sorry, we ain't got time to bleed, man.
He didn't move two total yards in the play.
He stood there. He was a great spectator. They played with 10 on the play, which is not like him. So the tendency of, well, it's a veteran. He's allowed. No, and Isaiah makes a good point. You put a C on your chest, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Even if you don't get to him, you've got to show. I go back to the Ben Watson play when he ran down Champ Bailey from across the field, Segs, on an interception. I mean, a big tight end chasing down one of the fastest guys in the league. You know what? Of all the great things Ben Watson's done in his career, you know what one sticks out as a player for me? That effort play. When it would have been, he was on the other side of the field. Nobody would have got on him for not chasing his ass down. He said, "Oh hell no, not this time," and he did. Right. And then
was it Don Beebe who ran down the that play? Beebe remember,
ran down. Was it the Cowboys? Was it Leon Lett?
Yeah,
was Leon. That one?
Yes,
we ran forced the fall. Was it Leon Lett? Yeah. I think maybe like, I'm
never
wrong.
Never giving up on the play.
Right. Segs, and then people get a chance. Go listen to what Dan Campbell said about feeling about his team, about when you play. He goes, when you put in the work and you put in the time, you play better because you feel better. And then it all starts to pay. But it all starts – you got to put the work in. That was not putting the work in. And I know one play doesn't make the difference in a game, but what if that one play did make the difference in the game?
Right.
You tackle them, goal line stand, bam, you end up winning a game on a hard-fought game that could have been Chase down Leon Lett, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Don B. That's why I said Leon Lett. So, but it was – I'd rather have you chase him down and miss the tackle than not chase him down at all.
Right.
And I don't like the comments when it's we in a losing effort. We all know that, but you contributed to it. So approach that to I, because everybody knows we saw it on tape and the tape doesn't lie. Chris Jones is better than that.
Yeah. So the Jags get a big win, move to 4-1. Tied atop the AFC South.
The Colts are saying, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
Can we get
right?
We're playing out of our minds right now. We need some latitude and some space, man. But they did.
Right. Yeah. It was,
that could have been the game could have been done, man. He's right. There was no timeouts on the clock.
Yeah.
You get tackled there. You're in a frenzied play, right? You're frenzied.
Really, really good.
Good on win. Their team not to quit. Yep.
Yep. For the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, moving on. Let's stay in the NFL, but we're talking coaches on the hot seat. You said you had one yesterday, and where is this stand? Okay, let's start with the first one. Who you got?
Well, I don't know with the way they're playing and not close. I don't know how Mike McDaniel is still.
Especially now, listen, Sags,
when I say this, I don't like to see guys get fired. It's the nature of the business. People get replaced. People, you know, it happens for whatever reason, but they're not responding to him. And it's just they're just not good. And they're, like I said, in their finesse, they'll beat you in a 7-on-7 game. They ain't beating you much in 11-on-11. And after the way they lost that game the way they lost it, it reeked of this team is done with this whole thing. So I didn't know if he'd make it through the week, but apparently he's going to make it through the week. But they do that one more time. How in the world do you keep it? Especially when all the talk is the Miami Dolphins are a bad football team.
Yeah.
That's one. The second one is Aaron Glenn for me. But he's not getting fired. It's kind of a kind of sitting on both sides of the fence. I think we're way too hyperbolic by saying 5 games in, he's 1 and done. I hate that. You wouldn't say it with a quarterback. You wouldn't say it with a defensive tackle, with a coach. But I can tell you this, if the trend, the way they're playing defensively and not closing out, and Justin Fields is playing good statistical football. He is. Yep. If you're he ain't the problem. He's just not. He's really not, Sags. And your job is to elevate and get wins, and they're not winning, but he's not the problem. When you look at it and you watch the tape and their defense not getting turnovers, not one of them, it's too premature to throw Aaron Glenn into the he's going to be 1 and done now. But at the end of the year, you can see if they're not getting movement out of either way and they're not getting better, you can see why they do it. The other one that sticks out for me is Kevin Stefanski. I didn't like the way he handled the end of the game, and they're just not getting better with anybody. An offense, which he's supposed to be a guru, and I like Kevin. But the fact of the matter is, if he survives this and they keep going like this, then the Cleveland Browns are just – they just figure that we're going to just keep doing. We're going to keep this coach. We don't want to pay whatever he's got left on his contract and go. But – Kevin did not have his best fourth quarter last week.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Putrid way to end that game. Just, it felt like he just wasn't even trying. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, just with the play calls and everything, the way it went.
Overprotective on Dylan Gabriel. Yes. You played him. You got to trust him. You just have to.
You have to. And yeah, there's, as the commenters are mentioning, there's other coaches that are at least trending towards being talked about on the hot seat. But yes, Mike McDaniel's hot seat has to be the hottest in football, like to the point he can barely sit down anymore because they are bad. If it wasn't for the Jets, who are 0-5, they wouldn't have a win either.
Right. And with Aaron Glenn one more time and Isaiah hit it too. Well, it's premature now, but I'm not saying it's premature after game 10. I just think we jump too quick to say you're 1 and done automatically. Now they could make a big turnaround. I don't see enough evidence that tells me that they are going to turn it around. And if you're a defensive guru, Sags, it tells me not getting turnovers, not playing defense, then something's missing, and something is majorly amiss from there. And there's – what's that, Stephen M. Ross, the owner?
Yeah, that was the statement last year, like kind of going into this season, like we're going to, you know, change things. Jets real fast, first team in NFL history to start 0-5 and not create a single turnover. And you hired Aaron Glenn because that's what he's known for, is turning the football over. That's my point. And your defense doesn't have one.
Yeah, not one. Not even falling into a fumble or a tipped ball interception.
Yeah.
Back to this Miami thing, Siggs. I'm gonna. It's not a hot take. I'm gonna put some out there. Who they play this week? Do we know?
I can find out in just a second. Miami plays. Come on, Chargers.
Chargers have had a few struggles, the last couple of weeks, and they've been banged up. If they lose, I'm talking about emphatically and embarrassingly to the Chargers' sakes. You know, they get manhandled. It doesn't look good. I don't think Mike McDaniel gets through the month. I just don't. And I don't know how, if you're telling us you want to move on, we're going to do things different. What's different? Finesse, same look, lose games in stupid ways. You know, great seven on. You guys are awesome in pregame warmup. They are awesome in pregame warmup. The optics for them, bad. And you know what will happen in South Florida, dude? They'll quit coming. Hell, I don't even know if they're filling them. They will quit. They will just quit showing up. It's a bad look. We may have more than one coach fired during the season this year. I'm talking about from here on. We've already seen him in college. You may not. I think these guys are getting so impatient. They're just like, you know what? We're done. You could see two or three of them go before the season's up if their trend, the way they're coaching and playing, continues.
Yeah, so they got the Chargers this week at home. Then they go to Cleveland, to Atlanta, home against the Ravens. That's their next four games. If he were to make it through those four, I feel like he has to go 3-1 or he's out. Like even 2-2 against that schedule does not scream enough. Even with Lamar Jackson probably being back for the Ravens, that defense is so horrible. And Tua's actually been decent. But they're just
– they're gonna put numbers up, Siggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, in week two getting beat by Cleveland like 13-10? You're a finesse team and you score 10 points and Cleveland beats you like 17-13. I'm talking about not week two, but in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks,
and Gabriel beats you. Their defense plays well and you lose that. They're gonna lose their collective minds. I don't see them going 3-1 in those games. Say, I don't. Lamar, even though Baltimore's defense is bad, they'll score. But how are they going to stop Lamar and that team and Henry? They're not going to stop them. They're not physical at all. I don't see how they win three out of the next four. I don't. Hell, they should just focus on trying to get one win so they can keep getting checks, man.
And Isaiah brings up an interesting point, and I think it's worth a discussion, the fact that he says, I really hope some of these coordinators start using more common sense and not leaving a job like Detroit, the D.C. job, for the New York Jets, who we know are so bad and still trying to figure things out. But you also got to remember, there is only 32 head coaching jobs. Sometimes you can work your way through a coaching cycle, say 3-4 years, and you're one of the names talked about, and you don't, and that job never comes. And then all of a sudden you're washed out, and then you're not a head coach anymore. I mean, David Shaw, how long did we talk about him moving to the NFL? And he just stayed at Stanford. And then he got fired at Stanford, and then he's no longer talked about. I think the Bears interviewed him. I think Jacksonville might have interviewed him too, before they hired Liam Cohen and Ben Johnson. But the fact that he's not the hot candidate anymore, we've seen plenty of guys. Ben Johnson flirted with it, but he kept winning in Detroit, so he kept staying that hot name and eventually took the Bears job, the job that he wanted. But there's only 32.
And I don't think Ben Johnson felt he was ready to do it yet, and he finally did.
Right.
Because he could have left the year before.
And sometimes if you wait, boom, you miss your chance, and then maybe you never get that chance to be an NFL head coach.
Stiggs, we got a litany of guys, Adam Gase, guys that Dave Campbell, I like Dave Campbell, is a phenomenal man and a great defensive coach and a great linebacker coach. But some guys aren't all cut out to be great coaches. We automatically assume that they have success as a coordinator, they're going to be great head coaches. Just like a position coach isn't always cut out to be a coordinator, right?
Right.
With this, you start to look at, you know, whether it's Aaron Glenn or whether it is, you know, these guys that take the gig and go. Here's the thinking, though. Oh, well, if you're Kellen Moore, you're going to team salary cap hell, you know you're not any good, and you still take the job. Now, there's that ego that says, I can fix it. They all have that ego that says they can fix it, and they should. That's what makes them great coaches.
Right.
But if you're – and okay, how many times if you pass on it, and then your team, like you say, the team you're coordinating on starts to struggle and doesn't turn out well, then what happens, Siggs? Now you're no longer the hot commodity, and now you're back – and you may never have that again. The thought process is – Now, if you're getting offered 3 and 4 jobs and you take the worst one just for money, that's a you problem. But if one team's offering you a job and you've never, Kellen Moore, never been a head coach, we've been talking about it for a while. Jason Garrett, when he was waiting for his opportunity. Aaron Glenn, Adam Gates, they go on. Remember how Peyton Manning was endorsing how good he is? And he was just awful. He was just awful as a head coach. So there's that discernment between is now the time. And most guys are thinking, will it ever pass this way again? You are thinking that twofold. You're thinking, will I ever get a chance again since I haven't been offered this job? And on the other side, you're thinking, well, if they offer this job, I'm taking it because I'm going to go turn this franchise around. And sometimes both of them don't add up, right? Ben Johnson waited another year, got Chicago, got his guy. Their front office start to build some players around him, and they're improved. It's not always the case. And then the ownership has to have patience knowing that Kellen Moore's team's not any good. So if you can see improvement, maybe it's not wins and losses, but improvement. Like last week, they made some big plays, came up huge in the game, and found a way to win in a weird-ass back and forth. And they came back and won that football game, did the Saints on a time when, well, we thought they were going to, you know, get beat again because they're not very good. So most coaches that – now, if you're a guy like, I don't know, Kyle Shanahan and you left San Francisco, you know you're going to get another opportunity because you've won a lot. But if you're – Kellen Moore, are you sure that people aren't going to pigeonhole you into being a coordinator if you don't have success? So, but I listen, Segs, I'm taking the job too. If it's the only offer as a head coach, you're saying I'm not passing this up because I just don't know. I'm going to go for it because I think I can fix it. Most coaches lean that way, and then you hope you have a good season. And if you don't, well, now you're on the hot seat before you were even in the seat, and that happens sometimes. Well,
and then sometimes it's the opposite where the organization just doesn't kind of know what they want. And then you end up with a situation like in Houston a few years back with David Culley as the head coach who was
two one and dones. That's right.
Yeah, 2 1-and-dones right in a row for Houston. And then it's and then the organization becomes kind of like, do I want that job? Because I mean DeMeco Ryans at least had a legacy with the Texans, played there, was really good there, played linebacker. And so I think he probably felt more comfortable than maybe some of the other candidates being like, geez, you guys just fired 2 coaches after, you know, each season. Like that's not a dangerous job. That's a dangerous chance for me to take if I'm, you know, somebody that may be on my last chance, you know, a veteran.
Yeah, you're going to fire me if we don't have success. And there's no doubt.
So it's such
that bridge that they were both using. Yeah. Yes. And neither one worked out. And to start off his career, now, I look at what Nick Caserio's done. He's done some great things drafting and getting some key free agents for them. But the biggest knock on him early on was, how could you hire those 2 guys? Now, Lovie had success, but it didn't work here. And David Culley had never even been interviewed as a head coach when he got the job. So if it was a bridge, it was a bridge. Both those guys really good on staffs, and Lovie's had success as the head coach in the past. But they didn't work here. And if you're DeMeco Ryans, you're exactly right. His legacy and the fact that he was a player here and was held in high regard in the organization and they wanted him, and he had 2 or 3 other offers too. You know, at least I think the Saints may have been wanted. I mean, well, the Denver Broncos were one that wanted him, remember? And then they took Sean Payton. Right. And he turned it down to go to Houston. So at least all the reports were Denver wanted him first, at least at that point. Now Sean's doing a good job there. So it's hard, but it's hard to say no to your first NFL job when it's the most exclusive CEO position, meaning head coaching, because there's only 32 of them, just like quarterbacks. If you're in one of those, man, you're a high-ranking official because we don't have many of those. It's not like a Fortune 500 company that we got, 5,000 of them or 500 of them. We got 32 of them. And if you don't change if you don't get the ROI and you don't take the company and build it up to where you've taken profits and revenue and raise it up, well, then they go get another CEO, right? You know, you got your shareholders and you want them all to be happy. There's no different in football. If the shareholders / ownership and or your team doesn't elevate, then they'll get rid of you. And there's no loyalty in it. But we no longer give you 5-year contracts. We'll give them to you, but we no longer give you 5 years to fail at quarterback or at head coach. We give you 2 or 3 years. And if it's really ugly, you get 2 years. And if it's brutal, you get a year. Yes. And right now the Jets are headed down that path if they're not careful.
Yes. All right. So we move from NFL coaching hot seats to college. Last week we talked about, I brought up Luke Fickell, who lost to Michigan this past weekend. They are now 2-3. And I brought up Deion Sanders, and I know he's dealing with some health issues, and maybe he'll just step away. But when we just go by on-the-field stuff happening in Colorado, they lost again to TCU 35-20, 21, something like that. They're now 2-4. I think both those guys. But the guy I want to talk about today is just – it's something you hate to see. You hate to see a guy end like this that is so big from the NFL to college, and that's Bill Belichick at North Carolina. They've been downright bad. Their two wins come against Richmond and Charlotte. Other than that, their three losses are to TCU, UCF, and a bad Clemson team. And in those three games they've lost, they've been outscored 120-31. So on the field, bad for North Carolina. Oh. Off the field, we got all the bullshit with his girlfriend. She's on the field before the game, during the games, talking to him when he has the headsets on. There is too much going on just in that situation. And now we get reports that he has directed the North Carolina social team to basically not congratulate Drake May or anything Patriots related that goes with North Carolina. They can't put anything on their social. And Drake May is now starting off to a tremendous second year, and now North Carolina football can't even basically acknowledge it because Bill's too pissed off at the Patriots still to let them do it. It's just, it's become a joke. I don't like seeing Bill Belichick go out this way, but if I'm North Carolina and I don't know what his buyout is, I haven't even looked, I would buy him out and send him on his way and get rid of that headache.
I don't think, say, you know my affinity for Belichick, right? You know how I feel about it, right? I mean, as a broadcaster, I always said when I was on television that I want to do NFL Live and SportsCenter as if Belichick was watching, would he say the guy knows what he's talking about? Yeah. Honestly, that I literally had that thought when I'd sit on the set. And there's no doubting. Now, listen, having Tom Brady help, there's no doubt that Bill Belichick is as good as we've ever had doing it. The record, just to keep his team hungry enough to win that many Super Bowls is one thing, right? And to get to that
match. Right.
Going into this North Carolina thing, I would have thought, well, man, if you just held out, maybe an NFL team would have got back to you. And maybe they would have, Segs, because there was still the intrigue of Kenny. He's a fixer. You know, he can turn it around and discipline, and we'll do it the Belichick way. But this has tarnished his chance to even go back to the NFL. I can't hire him as an NFL guy because the wife or the girlfriend or whatever she ends up being, he's already proven that she's going to hang around. Bill has let the things that he would have never allowed an assistant or a player to do to be him. He would have never – can you imagine Charlie Weiss on a headset? And Charlie Weiss is – if Charlie had a girlfriend, I'm just using him as an example because he was with him so long. Or Josh McDaniel. With Josh McDaniels, should I say, Mike McDaniel. Josh McDaniels stand on the sideline. All of a sudden, a girl comes up when he's in New England pregame with a couple minutes to go and just get in his ear as they're walking around. Bill would have fired him. Would have said, dude, that's not happening here, right? The things that he's doing, he would have never allowed a player. Hell, if it was a snowstorm and you were late, then he sent you home and suspended you the next week. In a snowstorm in New England. We saw that happen with a running back, right? Had his best game, was suspended, a week or two later because, well, he was late getting to the building. I love Belichick. This ain't it anymore, man. Now, I'm going to – the hall pass, if you're giving him any, 70 new players. But he, you know, I get it. But Deion went through – these guys all go through that. With a transfer portal, he ain't going to be the only one. It's right. Not just that they're losing Sags, it's how they're losing to good teams. They don't. They look semi ill prepared, which is shocking. All the things we said who Bill was, and that he would never be. The good things you said, here's who he is, and the things you said he'll never be. He's right. Not getting an 18 and 19 to 20 year olds to respond to him. One, some of those guys that were young don't really know his legacy. That's the sad thing. Until they read it, yeah. I'm being honest. There's guys who don't know who Eric Dickerson and Marcus Allen. They have no idea. If you say there are guys that are playing high school football right now and you say Brett Favre, they're not real sure how good he was as a player. Warren Moon, they just don't. Now, Belichick's not that far removed. My point is that when you're struggling like this, those 17, 18-year-old kids don't give you the hall pass that the rest of us give you for all those years of dominance, and plus it's now college. I not only think it's affecting this one, and they're going to have to move on from him sooner than later because the distraction is real. I didn't think he'd ever let that happen. The distraction is not only real, it's palpable and it's huge. Number one, whether they say it or not. And I'm sure assistant coaches and people around them are thinking, gosh, this isn't like you. But they're afraid to go say that to him. And I understand that. But what it's done now, you and I are, you're general manager, I'm owner, you're the owner, I'm the general manager of the NFL team. After watching this, aren't you saying, well, I'm going to invest $10 million in Bill Belichick. The girlfriend's going to be hanging around dictating what we do, and he's going to want to hire her as his director of operations. I don't know how many times I say anything negative about Belichick in 20 years, probably not very many. But I can tell you this. It's not ruined his NFL legacy. That stands. That's standalone. Right. He's got that. But you're gonna say, well, kind of like you said about Saban going to the Dolphins. It didn't work out. But at least Saban didn't have – I mean, he didn't have the guy hanging around. I wonder if Saban's ever said, Bill, what are you doing? This is not like you. You know what I'm saying? But some are just saying Bill's going to do it this way. Maybe he's at the stage of his career that this was a hobby at North Carolina and a challenge. But the challenge isn't working right now. And it pains me to say because I am a huge Belichick fan. But the distraction with the girl, you lose respect from players quickly. I can't. If you're a coach, don't you think, well, I got the leeway to do what I want to? Oh, I don't? The double standard. He would have never, ever allowed a player or coach on his staff to do it. And yet the things that there's no way of all the coaches, I would have said there's no way Belichick allows any of this. And not only has he allowed it, we see it weekly. And the distraction's real. You can't. This isn't going to last long. Plus, he's going to get to the point where I think where he's going to say, this isn't for me. I can't keep kissing these kids' ass and NIL and I'm not getting response. And you know what? I'm just going to enjoy all my money and get back to doing broadcasting. I'm sure he'll be good if he's opinionated. But if I'm an NFL coach, I can't hire him. I just can't. And the fact that he's this catty over Drake May at New England, Bill's bitterness towards them and his ego, which has worked for him in the past, you know, you do it your way, but the lack of flexibility, the lack of, this is not about New England. This is about Drake May.
Right.
What did Drake May do wrong? This is pubbing a guy who's doing some really good things from our school and he's a proud alum. This is the same things you can't allow to affect you are all the things that Bill is allowing to affect him. And it's an ugly watch. You talk about one and dones. I don't see how he comes back unless the AD says, you know, we're going to change some things. And Bill says, yeah, we are. I got to do better. But if it stays like this and you know it's going to stay like this, you can't do it. Why do you think the buyout's lowered?
Right.
Said buyout's lowered for both. It's like, I'm not sure they're pining to keep him. Let's just put it that way. Right now, Mac Brown would have given them a better chance and Mac's a hell of a coach. But Mac was more college football centric prepared. Bill, unfortunately, you just can't treat it like he did in New England. And unfortunately for him, he's not treating it like he did in New England. He would have never allowed that stuff to creep in on his school. I mean, on his team, he's allowing it to creep in there. I think the distractions are obvious. And if they're not, then I'm not seeing what then they're not seeing what I'm seeing. And I don't like it. And I hate to say it, but it can't keep going like this. Yeah.
While I think the move from NFL to college is a little easier now than, say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Because, more like your NFL model.
Yes, because of the NIL stuff, because of the transfer portal. It's kind of like free agency and all that stuff, so you're used to that. You don't have to walk into however many kids, 17-year-old, 16-year-old kids' homes and try and win them over. You don't have to do that as much, but it's still just – it's still not working for Bill, and yeah, it's just time to move on.
Snakes, let me ask you a question. What's worse or what's more heinous as a coach, a friend, or a general manager? You know, he's close with Lombardi, and Mike, you know, has been in the business a long time. What's worse, being the coach or the friend that is afraid to go to him and tell him, Bill, this is not like you. What are we doing? Or the guy that doesn't say anything and stays home and doesn't even approach it, even though your job may be on the line? Don't you think that as a friend, if it was you and me, wouldn't you owe it to yourself? Say, Sean, all the years we've talked, this isn't the way you talked about being a coach. What's going on? This is not the way you coach. Wouldn't you at some point just risk the friendship or saying something or to have me pissed to say, Sean, this is not who you are, dude. What are we doing here?
Right.
Or is it just better to sit back and let this plus, your job's online. Is it better to sit back and just say, you know what? He made his own bed. Now I can sleep in it. I'm just going to try to get my position group ready to play. I mean, what should they be doing? Or is anybody saying, Bill, we're not doing this the right way? I don't know what goes on in the meeting room, Segs, but the optics from the outside look like whatever's going on in the meeting room isn't good enough to get this team to play better.
Do you think, last question on this, do you think that he did this in any certain way to try and guarantee his kid, Steve, who's the defensive coordinator, the job next? Maybe he walks away after a year and says, all right, you guys told me that Steve gets the job next. Now it's his team. And I think he's a decent coach. I mean, he did well at Washington when he was there.
No, Steve knows X and O's. He can't help it with that.
In the NFL, obviously. I don't know how he is as a recruiter or any of that kind of stuff, but do you think that played into this at all?
I would think bringing his son there, just like we see a lot of times. Kelvin Sampson here in Houston, but the difference is Kelvin Sampson is doing it right and their team's winning. Yes. See, if you're trying to sell me on your kid and the DNA and it doesn't fall far from the tree, I know he's a good assistant coach, but what happens is it filters down. We all of a sudden think, well, if I'm going to get rid of him because we suck, but I'm going to keep the kid on. If you're trying to do that, if that is part of the deal, then guess what? Then I would think you'd want to win to say, man, we want to keep this ball rolling. I would go 180 degrees opposite. If you're trying to get your kid hired at North Carolina to be the head coach when you're gone and it's just to pay it forward, his kids can go get a job on his own. His kid's good.
Right.
But if that's what you're doing, I think you're ruining the opportunity because everything looks crazy as opposed to helping him. Now, maybe you have those good intentions going in, but right now, hell, I don't care if we agreed to it on paper. Remember that coach in waiting, Will Muschamp at the University of Texas, and he left to get another job? Coach in waiting doesn't mean shit. I can just get ready because I imagine the buyout, if he was the head coach, isn't that big on
right.
They're not standing in line to hire him as the head coach right now. Maybe they would be if they were winning.
Yeah.
So to me, I think you're almost roadblocking your kid if that was your plan because you're playing so poorly and the optics of the way you got control over a university is you sure as hell don't have control over your own space right now. At least that's what the optics appear.
Right. Jumping back to the NFL real quick. We did have a trade while we're on the show. Joe Flacco has been traded from the Browns to the Bengals. So it's Flacco and a 6th-round pick to the Bengals for a 5th-round pick. The Bengals, that gives the Bengals a veteran to start instead of Jake Browning, who struggled in his couple of starts since Joe Burrow's injury. And this elevates Shador to a backup, so everybody should be happy. Everybody that just keeps talking about Shador, well, now he's the backup, so you can shut the hell up finally.
The Cleveland Browns fan, I mean, the people who the Dylan Gabriel haters and the lovers of Shador Sanders are saying they're going to say they did this because they want Shador to have a clear path to the starting
job. Yes.
Now, I'm not saying Cleveland's saying that. I'm saying they are. Now, I'm sure they went into Joe and said, Joe, listen, man, you get it. And Joe's like, yeah, because now I'll just go start for Cincinnati and I'll see you guys in a couple weeks when we play.
Get Jamar Chase, T. Higgins.
You're going to pop. You're going to – he's like, I'm all in. No problem here.
Let's go.
I'll go do that. If you want to keep – I'm good. And clears the way. But the – which is – hell, if I'm somebody, go trade for Jameis Winston. The guy's still got game. Hell, he's a third quarterback. I'd go trade for him if I was a team to do it, not Cleveland. But if you're Cincinnati, he's a little younger. I think he could throw it a little better now. But I get how this works. But, dude, they trade him, which we're going to talk more. People watch the national media. This trade just went down in the last 15 minutes, right, or whatever?
Yeah, like last half hour or so.
Yeah, watch what's going to happen, Sakes. They're going to be there. You know what you're not going to be talking about? Trevor Lawrence now. Oh, we got to get off the Trevor Lawrence Kansas City Chiefs thing. We got our Daniel Jones or the way Baker Mayfield's playing. The most popular conversation this week is going to be: are they now prepping Shador to be the guy after one game with Dylan Gabriel, who played fairly well? Dude, it's coming, and I can't. I don't want to buy into it. I don't want to be. Stop it! Don't make me do this.
I just refreshed X. .com, not Twitter, X.
Am I how close am I? And I haven't looked at X. I only saw
the first tweet and it was about this, but it's Emmanuel Acho, and it's like he's at the gym and his thing just basically says, and I just read his headline, obviously didn't listen to it because we're doing the show. It just says this Joe Flacco trade must be discussed. Like, this is just earth-shaking news that Joe Flacco's been traded from the Browns.
Well, you traded a 70-year-old, and much respect, you traded a 70-year-old backup who wasn't going to start anymore. You're going to roll it out to put Shador in the backup position, and Joe's probably like, thank you. When's my plane leave? Because I'm going to go. I know Cincinnati's not very good, but I can throw a hit screen to Jamar Chase, and I got a chance, like you mentioned. Right. But, dude, and to get out of all that nonsense, I mean, think how muddied the waters are there. Watson's hovering, $230 million. Shador. And now you're Dylan Gabriel trying to get ready for a game, and the only question they're going to be asked in the building is, Shador, are you ready to be the starter? Dude, I can already see it, and I'm not talking about it. Well, yes, we'll talk about it tomorrow, I'm sure, after we see more quotes.
But once we see
we needed Joe Flacco to get traded on a Tuesday. And Joe Flacco, dude, normally it's Joe Flacco getting traded. People would have said, oh, good for Joe. And he's winding down his career, and Cincinnati needs a little help. But now it's going to be, oh, my gosh, look what happened. And if it does and Shador plays and he plays great, good on him. I'm rooting for him to play.
No one,
but when he's the starter. Until then, let's find out what Dylan Gabriel's all about. It can, only in
I
Cleveland
saw people
when it comes
pining
to
for Shador in the first quarter of that Browns Vikings games, and he wasn't playing bad. Like, it's just, oh, it's one of those things.
I mean, talking about a maddening, exhausting team. Just and the whole situation there.
Yeah, that's the Browns. If we didn't talk about the Browns the rest of the season, I'd be happy.
Thank you.
And then an update on the Mark Sanchez situation. The older gentleman that he attacked, Peyton Toll, I believe is the name, almost 70 years old, has now sued Mark Sanchez and Fox Sports for basically retaining this guy and not having security with him to watch him. So now Fox is getting sued.
Well, here's what that means.
Mark Sanchez's, you know,
here's what that means. Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez. Maybe ESPN has an opening, and then it also means Fox wins the settlement coming down the pipe because you got no shot to win it.
Nope.
Well, guess what? You'll be able to buy a new knife. Oh, that's wrong, isn't it? The guy with the money. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Well, you know, you can say that when he's okay. Hell, yeah. I was kidding. You know. But to protect himself from future stupidity is my point, you know. But you know the settlement's coming down the pike, right, Sex?
Yeah.
You do know this.
Yeah.
And now the question is, does Mark Sanchez keep his gig as we move forward?
No way. No way he can.
Yeah, I don't see. But in truth, if you're the guy, I mean, hell. Yeah, I mean, I don't like frivolous lawsuits, but when somebody's doing that at you and you got a knife, got to protect yourself because you don't know where a guy's mental state is,
Right. Meaning
Sanchez at the time. I hate it all the way around, but you knew this was coming. This is no surprise. No surprise at all. Got to protect himself.
Crazy story,
Paid for protecting himself. Watch.
Yeah. Crazy story out of Indianapolis. All right. We got baseball today. Cubs, Phillies, your offenses suck in the playoffs. No other way to put it. The Cubs haven't scored over three runs in their last 18 postseason games.
Yeah, and if Schwarber and that group Trey Turner. Well, Schwarber was like, and I love him. What a season. Hell, we don't even talk about his season because of Cal Raleigh, 60 home runs and the way Ohtani and Judge went about. But he was led the league in RBIs, baseball. But he was 0 for, like, I think 19 at the end of the season and going in, Sigs. He struggled with a bunch of strikeouts. But if he gets going, look out. But the middle of the order's got to dominate, and they're not. And Snell was fabulous. Hell, Lizardo was pretty damn good until they got to him a little bit. But and then the other one, great response by Milwaukee, Sigs, in the Cubs game. You know, you give up a three-run job, and everybody's happy, and all of a sudden, you don't let it fester. The next inning, bam, you get your three-run right back in it. The Brewers are real, and do not sleep on that team in Seattle to go because their pitching staff and their power, nasty.
Churio there in Milwaukee is just on fire. Only 21 years old and has like a 1,500 OPS.
Dude, how good is he playing?
Like, just out of his mind. Just out of his mind. Today we get Seattle. Now they're in Detroit for game 3. That series tied at 1, and then Toronto travels to the Bronx in Yankee Stadium to take on Carlos Rodon and the Yankees. That series, Toronto.
Good pitching appears that it's always still real, huh, Sakes? Good pitching is going to always beat good hitting, and it's been proven all the way through this series. And then the timely hits that you get, and the Dodgers had a few more staved off that. Their bullpen's going to be a problem, Sakes, so keep an eye.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. That bullpen's going to have to elevate because you're going to run into a Brewers team that'll be relentless if it comes to that. That bullpen's going to have to be better with the Dodgers.
Yeah, we'll talk about baseball tomorrow when we get back here. That'll do it for us today. We'll start looking ahead to the weekend, see what kind of bets we can make, maybe start talking a little basketball about maybe some – we can look at some futures bets of NBA champions, MVP odds, that kind of stuff. Just kind of see, just start taking a little peek and maybe what we like and what we don't.
We can't wait to talk to Cleveland Browns tomorrow and that big stellar trade that took place to clear the path for Shedeur Sanders.
That's at least the first 55 minutes of a 60-minute show tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait. I'll be in my chair 20 minutes early for that conversation. I'm fired up.
Everybody will be ready for that. So yeah, make sure go to the poll question. Who's your MVP through the first 5 weeks? We gave you Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, and Baker Mayfield. If you think it's not one of those four, comment in. Give us Josh Allen, Lamar, Jonathan Taylor, a defensive player. I don't even know who's really. You mentioned Devin Lloyd's been the best cover guy, and he's a linebacker in the league. But yeah, let us know.
How does a linebacker have five picks? I bet you basically what you call him. You don't call him a linebacker, Sags. He is a defensive back with the way he's catching the ball. You know what I mean? You expect that from perimeter people, but the guy is.
And what was he known for at Utah? Coming downhill and hitting you. Like, that's what he was known for. And
now he can catch it too. Yeah. He throws to you, catch it. And he's doing a hell of a job. He's playing
tight end soon.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Need more pass catchers.
Yeah, how about that? The Ohtani of football. He's going to play offense and defense and dominate both, right?
Good for him. That's something we could talk about tomorrow, too. The beginning of the first five games of Travis Hunter, what we've seen from him. He had a decent game catching the ball last night, but he's not playing in all
these plays. Where would you play? Where would you play him as you move forward, Sigs, that's best for the team and best for his? And you know what's covering that up, Sigs? The fact that they're winning. There'd be more bitching about it if around them nationally if they weren't winning. And with that, Sags, too, the you mentioned the basketball. Wait, what'd you mean? As far as, remember, folks, on the poll question, regardless of how we vote, it's a quarterback award. We said earlier it's going to be a quarterback award. It always, that's why we don't have Jonathan Taylor up there. Quarterbacks winning the MVP this year.
If we're talking non-quarterback, you got to throw in Puka Nacua, who's arguably
the two offensive players of the year, Jonathan Taylor and Puka right now.
Yes.
Period. No doubt.
I think that Travis Hunter will be interesting. Conversation will be interesting tomorrow. We'll talk more football, look ahead, and kind of just start looking ahead to baseball, what we may see in the championship series, and we'll just look ahead to the weekend as well. It'll be Wednesday tomorrow. I got to go to the dentist, which sucks. I hate the dentist.
Well, would you hate more, though, the dentist or the pain you're feeling in your tooth? Get your ass to the dentist.
Yeah, I'm going to the dentist for sure.
There you go. Don't get scared, dog.
I've been to the dentist so many times. My front two teeth, the one that hurts is fake. That tells you. So something's going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, he plays hockey too. There you go.
I did when I was little. I wasn't very good.
There you go. I'll see you tomorrow, brother. Good stuff.
We'll be back noon Central tomorrow, 1 Eastern. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to everybody. We will see you guys tomorrow. Peace.